Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
In Exodus chapter 20, God gave us 10 great laws. They hold the keys to overcoming life's greatest challenges. Next on Daily in the Word, we'll study how to overcome the greatest challenges of our lives with Dr. Paul Chappell. Stay with us. Often the most difficult and trying challenges of daily life are due to the fact that we're working against God's natural laws of life. We're working against the way He designed life to function rather than submitting to His laws. The keys to overcoming the greatest challenges we face are often found in submitting to God's ways. Next on Daily in the Word, we're going to study how to overcome the greatest challenges of life by keeping God's 10 great laws from Exodus chapter 20. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and we come to you with the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church, president of West Coast Baptist College. For more information about our ministry, visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. On the website, you can subscribe to Dr. Chappell's daily devotion. You can also download Daily in the Word to take with you on your computer or iPod and listen to at your convenience. Here's now Pastor Paul Chappell to introduce today's message in this series, Overcoming Life's Greatest Challenges.
Several years ago, I visited a large manufacturing plant here in California, and I was amazed as I walked into the plant to see hundreds of employees on their way into work with clear plastic lunch pails and purses. And I asked the man that was giving me the tour, why do they have those clear plastic containers with their lunches and possessions? He said, oh, that's because of theft. The security has to be able to see what's being taken out of the facility at the end of the day. Later, I learned that American business loses billions of dollars annually because of theft. Theft not from outsiders, but from the very employees of companies in America today. Well, we're going to learn how to keep integrity in our society, and if we'll get back to the basics of the Ten Commandments, it would be amazing how America would change for the better. Let's learn about keeping integrity alive from Exodus 20:15.
The Eighth Commandment reminds us that we should only acquire property through biblical means. It reminds us that we are to honor God in our everyday lives, and that we are not to take away from His glory, but that in our living we should honor and glorify Him. Last year, in the year 2005, the Merriam-Webster Online Dictionary had more than 7 million people that visited their online dictionary. And people last year wanted to know the meaning of a lot of different words. They wanted to know the meaning of tsunami and filibuster. They wanted to know the meaning of various words like refugee. But the number one word Merriam-Webster had sought out of them in the dictionary online was the word integrity. Integrity. And when we come to this eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal, we're really talking about integrity. And we're addressing the fact that there is a real lack of integrity in America today, and that these commandments, far from what some may think, far from the opinion of the ACLU and others, these commandments are not irrelevant words of yesteryear. They are vitally needed right now, today, because God's Word is always relevant. It's interesting, as you study FBI statistics, the FBI reported last year that the annual total, last year's total loss from robbery, burglary, larceny theft, motor vehicle theft was $18 billion in America last year. But what's even more amazing is that a few years ago, due to the Enron scandal, there were $60 billion lost, $60 billion that costs that investors never received, $60 billion of loss due to that one debacle in our nation's history. Now, why is there such a lack of integrity today? Why do we see such a falling apart of our moral integrity in this land? Why do we see so many murders? So much adultery, so much false religion, so much stealing. Well, I believe as America, not just those who are not Christians, but even as American Christians get farther away from the Word of God, as we neglect the commandments of God, we begin to reflect those changing values. You see, I believe the quote that's in your notes this morning, "The God you worship will shape the values you hold." The God you worship will shape the values you hold. And when we worship the God of self, then we will reflect those values in our everyday life. But when we worship the God of the Bible, then we will reflect those values in our everyday life. Now, like all the commandments we've studied in these last several weeks, there's more to this verse 15 than it first really meets the eye. You see, the fact is that stealing, like other sins, begins with a change of dishonesty in the heart. Stealing begins with dishonesty in the heart on the inward man and then reflects itself in the outward actions of a man. And this morning I'd like to take these next few minutes and talk with you about how to keep integrity in our lives. We're going to talk about three areas of our lives. How do we keep integrity where we work? How do we keep integrity where we live? And how do we keep integrity where we worship? So let's dive into it this morning and see what God's Word has to say. Notice in your notes, first of all, keeping integrity where you work. How can we keep integrity in the American workplace? This past Sunday night, we had several folks into our home, and one of the fellas that was seated at our table there, a newer member of our church, someone that I'd led to the Lord a few years ago, who's here this morning, and I said to him, just getting to know one another a little better, I said, "Now tell me where you work and what you do." And he said, "Well, I work for such and so company, and I work in the loss prevention department." I said, "Oh." I said, "Like you got to watch out for people that come in and like rob the company and everything." He said, "Well, yeah, and for people who work for the company and rob the company, we have to watch out for that too." And did you know that most employers today are more worried about theft from within than they are theft from without? And what a tragedy they have to create entire departments of their company to guard themselves from the enemy within. And yet that's a statement of our culture today. How can we keep integrity where we work? Let me give you a few quick thoughts. First of all, we keep integrity where we work when employees give their very best. You know, I believe as a Christian, tomorrow morning when you go to work, you ought to give your very best at the workplace. I believe all of us ought to do what we do for the honor and glory of God. Ephesians 4 and verse 28 says it this way, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." Now, the thesaurus gives us 138 synonyms for the word steal. 138 ways that they describe this word steal. Now you may describe it in many different ways. You may describe it as lengthy borrowing, prolonged borrowing. But no matter what you call it, it comes to a point where the Bible simply says, "Thou shalt not steal." Let me give you four ways that employees steal from their employers every day. And I know this won't be the most exciting part of the message, but you know, sometimes we just need to bring it down home just a little bit. I think employees steal from employers by arriving late to work often. I believe they do this when they extend their lunchtime. I believe sometimes when that's excessively done, it can be a stealing from the employer. I think sometimes employees talk excessively. How many of you know somebody where you work? I mean, this is an art form for them. They've got it down where they can spend as much as 2 to 3 hours a day discussing important stuff while someone's been paying them to work. And I believe as Christian employees that when we get to the workplace, we ought to give our boss that which is due to him, his full or her full 8 hours of work. Another problem in American workforce today is that which is simply described this way: using your work time to pursue your own projects. And with the advancement of computer technology, a lot of folks spend time on the computer doing who knows what, visiting who knows where around the world in their little virtual place there, but it is not what they have been paid to do. One survey said that the average employee steals as much as 6 weeks out of 52 from their employer doing all these different things on the company's time. Now, I say it again, our work is an opportunity to glorify God through the great job that we do with His strength and with His help. Colossians 3:22 says it this way: servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing the Lord. Now think of that. God says, don't just do it when the boss is around as an eye pleaser, but in singleness of heart, do it with the fear of God or the respect of God. Listen, you do not go to work tomorrow, first and foremost, for Northrop or for the Antelope Valley Hospital or for the United States government. You are a child of God, and you ought to do all that you do in the name of God and to the glory of God. That's the principle here, that we are His workers, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not to the men. I was thinking, not unto men, I was thinking this past week, what if everyone who was a Christian went home and looked in their garage and looked all around their house and saw all that stuff they had borrowed, all the stuff they had brought home without permission? I was having this thought because I thought to myself, my library would double in size if everybody would just go home and see what they had borrowed and brought it back. And I thought, what if everyone found the stuff they borrowed, wrote an apology note, put a gospel track with their apology note, and mailed it back to the person? We might have revival in America. There's been so much of that over the years. It's like the shoplifter who wrote a letter to the department store and he said, I have just recently become a Christian and I'm so guilty and convicted over all of the thievery I did in my lifetime. And he said, I want you to know, he said, here's the $100 that I owe you. And he signed his name. At the bottom of the letter, he put a little P.S. P.S. If I still can't sleep, I'll send you the rest. Now, it's good when we feel a little bit of conviction, but you know, if God's working on your heart this morning, go ahead and do the whole thing. Go ahead and do whatever He wants you to do. Now, when employees give their best, integrity comes back to the workplace. Secondly, when employers bless their employees, integrity comes back to the workplace. I read a New York Times article this past week that described the Toys R Us manager for the Toys R Us store in Albuquerque. He had been receiving a lot of pressure from the upper-ups in management to get the bottom line up. They needed to see more revenue from that store. This man went into his little cramped office at Toys R Us, and he pulled up the computer and he began to sit there and alter the time records of his people. He began to work secretly, deleting hours to cut their pay in order to increase the bottom line of his store. Now, what a tragedy that those in places of authority would do less than their best to help those that are working for them. James 5 and verse 4 says it this way: Behold the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. In other words, God says, when you could do better for those that work for you and you don't, and when they have greater burdens because of your stinginess, then God says, I hear that as well. Proverbs 3:27 is a great verse for all of those who have opportunity to be a blessing. It says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. And so God, when He says, thou shalt not steal, I believe speaks to the matter of the workplace, keeping integrity at the workplace. But notice secondly, not only keeping integrity where we work, but I believe this passage speaks to keeping integrity where we live. So let's bring it on home just a little bit closer. How do we keep integrity where we live? In our households, the way we manage our households, are we keeping integrity? Now, I'm not talking about petty family theft, all right? How many of you have teenagers? How many of you periodically notice things missing? I'm not talking about that kind of integrity, like borrowing a necktie or something like that. I heard about a Sunday school teacher who said to her primary children, said, now if I were to go into a man's pocket and take his billfold, what would I be? Little boy raised his hand, he said, you'd be the wife. We're not talking about those kinds of borrowing and theft, okay? What are we talking about when we say keeping integrity where you live? Well, let me give you a few thoughts about this that I think are scriptural and need to be remembered today. First of all, as Christian families, we need to be known for people who pay our loans. People who pay our bills. Listen, rationalization sneaks into everybody's heart. We can say things like, well, they don't need the money and my circumstances have changed and on and on and on. But as God's people, we need to make sure that we pay our bills. Let me give you three quick ways that we can avoid debt. We have two children getting married in the next 4 months, and I've been giving them all these little last-minute tidbits, and we've been talking a little bit about finances and how to avoid some of these things so that integrity never comes into question. Here's three thoughts. First, don't charge hoping the money will be there at the end of the month. Don't charge hoping the money will be there at the end of the month. I told Danielle and Peter this week, I said, now be sure, if you're going to have credit cards, to get the kind that you have to pay off at the end of 30 days. And don't buy something hoping money's going to come in. You make sure that you're careful about that because it can get away from you in a hurry. Lots of us could testify about that. And be careful in that area. Secondly, practice contentment. You know, if God's blessing you and you can get that special whatever you want, thank God for that. But be content, the Bible says, Proverbs 15, 16. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Oh, how we need to practice contentment in our lives. One lady got to the place where she wanted to get this matter settled. She wanted to get her credit score to be in a better position and so forth. And so with some eagerness, she called the financial company and she called her credit card company and she said, hello, I'd like to pay off my MasterCard. Do you take Visa? Now, she had a good heart. She just kind of missed the whole point, didn't she? You know, folks, we need to come back to the place of contentment in our lifestyle. In your notes, I put down a little definition of integrity. Integrity is keeping my commitment even when the circumstances surrounding my commitment have changed. Integrity is paying your bill even when you have a different job that pays less now. Integrity is keeping your wedding vows even when the physical looks of your spouse has changed. Integrity is keeping your word even when the circumstances have changed in your life. And so be careful in these matters. A third suggestion is pray before you buy. Proverbs 21:5, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. Be careful in this matter of paying your loans and keep yourself in a position where you can keep them paid. Now, if we're going to have integrity where we live, we're going to have to be a people who pay our bills. Secondly, we're going to have to be a people who make restitution. We are going to have to make restitution. When we've wronged someone, we need to be the kinds of people to make it right. Boy, I get nervous when people in the church start borrowing money from one another and doing things like that. I always tell them, now be sure to keep it right. Be sure to treat them with the utmost respect and take care of that bill. Make restitution if need be. In the Bible, there's a story of a tax man by the name of Zacchaeus. And the Bible tells us about him in the book of Luke. It says he was a little man. We used to sing about him in Sunday school. A little song said, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. And it talked about Jesus coming by, and Zacchaeus climbed up into a sycamore tree so he could see Jesus coming by. And how many of you know that when Jesus comes by, and when you open His Word, and when you get nearer to Him, you start seeing your life in a different way? You begin to realize there's some things that need to change. Well, Zacchaeus had been defrauding people of their money. He had been charging them 3 to 5 to 10 times more in interest than they really owed. And when he saw Jesus in Luke 19:8, the Bible says, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I have given to the poor, I will give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I will restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to thy house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. No sooner had Jesus showed up in Zacchaeus' neighborhood than Zacchaeus realized, you know what? I've got to make some restitution. I've got to get some things right. I've got to restore my integrity. Oh, we see here, if we're going to keep integrity at home, we need to pay our loans. We need to make restitution. Let me say thirdly, that we need to make a fair and honest living. Young people, be careful of these get-rich-quick schemes. Recognize the importance of hard work. The Bible says if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. Now, I can give you some scriptures on this. First of all, God wants us to charge a fair price in our business dealings. And if we're going to make a fair and honest living, then we're going to have to charge a fair price. Amos chapter 8 and verse 5, the prophet Amos was telling about some of the inequity at Israel. And Amos said in Amos 8, 5, he said, "You are falsifying the balances by deceit." Back in Bible days, they would have these weight systems and they would weigh out how much corn and then they would pay accordingly. But there were some who would add a little extra weight to their side of the scale so that they could maybe give a little less corn but still make the same amount of money. Well, I want to tell you something. I respect people who are fair in this matter of what they charge. I was with a friend recently and we were having lunch. And he had his teenage son with him. And he was in the process of trying to sell a car. He had told me about it when we sat down for lunch. And while we were there, the phone rang. And someone was inquiring about his car. And as they were talking, my friend said, "Well," he said, my car has been in one accident." He said, "I fixed up the fender, but it wasn't an accident." He said, "And it leaked quite a bit out of the radiator, but I put some of this stop leak in it, and it's doing better now." And he said, "By the way," he says, "also this car," he said, it's out of balance right now and it needs this and it needs that. And when he hung up the phone, he said, "The man's going to come look at the car." But his teenage son said, "Dad," he said, "why would he want to buy the car? You just told him everything that's wrong with it." I'll never forget what the dad said. He said, "Son," he said, "it's more important to me to be truthful than to make a few hundred extra dollars." Now, I don't know if he was going overboard with it to teach his son, but I'm going to tell you what, he taught his son a great lesson that day. He taught his son about being fair and about being honest in these matters. I respect mortgage brokers who tell their clients what's going on in the pay scale and how many points they're paying and if there are any hidden fees. I respect mortgage brokers who refuse to put a young couple in a no-win loan that's going to come crashing down on them a few years later. I think everyone respects someone who's fair in the way they do business. Be fair with the prices you charge and work diligently at the work God has given to you. Proverbs 13 and verse 11, "Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase." Well, the Bible simply says, "Thou shalt not steal." But I believe God is saying to us, I want you to have integrity where you work. And I want you to have integrity where you live. And then I believe this morning we need to take a moment and look at this final thought. How do we keep integrity where we worship? I believe God is very, very interested in us having integrity where we work. And I believe God wants Christians to be known for their integrity in the way they live. But I believe God wants us to have integrity where we worship as well. If you have your Bible, turn to Jeremiah chapter 7 or look in your notes this morning. I want you to see one of the most fascinating portions of Scripture that's just kind of jumped out at me in the last few weeks as I prepare for this message. Jeremiah 7 verses 9 through 11. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. He had such a burden for Israel. And when they sinned against God, it broke his heart. And he writes to them in Jeremiah 7, 9, and he says these words, "Will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not, and come and stand before me in my house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? Is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, I have seen it, saith the Lord."
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. We invite you to find out more about our ministry. Let us know that our ministry is touching your life when you visit dailyintheword.org. Again, that's dailyintheword.org. You'll find many resources to help you and encourage you in your own spiritual growth. Before we wrap up the program, here's Pastor Paul Chappell.
Hi, this is Paul Chappell, and I wanted to say it's a blessing to journey through the Word of God with you on a daily basis here on Daily in the Word. I want to encourage you to take a moment today and visit dailyintheword.org. When you get to dailyintheword.org, there will be two opportunities for you to communicate with us. First of all, you can click the button that simply says Contact Us. One of my favorite parts of the day is when I hear from the listeners of Daily in the Word. Your email will be a tremendous source of encouragement to us, and let us know how we're reaching out and touching your life with the Word of God. There's another tab there on the website that says Donate. We would greatly appreciate your gift as we continue spreading the gospel and the Word of God across more than 400 stations throughout all of America. If you have been encouraged or blessed by one of the recent messages, we'd love to hear from you. Just visit dailyintheword.org and let us know how God is working in your life.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Friend, if you'd like more information about how to trust Christ as Savior, or if you've made that decision during this program, we would love to rejoice with you and send you some resources to help you grow in your Christian life. We would also like to send you a study guide for the current series, Overcoming Life's Greatest Challenges. This study guide comes with outlines complete for every lesson in this series. It'll be a great resource for you to refer back to or to pass along to a friend. Again, it's the study guide for Overcoming Life's Greatest Challenges. We'd like to send it to you this month as a gift when you call or write to us. By the way, we do appreciate if you'd consider a gift to the ministry of Striving Together. Your gift will help us stay on this station and continue ministering the Word of God. You can contribute to our ministry by visiting dailyintheword.org and clicking on the tab that says Donate. To contact us toll-free and request this resource, Overcoming Life's Greatest Challenges, call us at 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748, or visit us at dailyintheword.org. We'd love to hear from you and know that our program is touching your life on a daily basis. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.